just got done singing, with Jesus, we can conquer every foe. That's quite a statement, really. It didn't say most of them, some of them, everyone. And that's the power of the God that we serve. Building for eternity. That's the subject of the message this morning. We are all building something. By our lives, we're building something. Sometimes in sorrow, sometimes in joy. But there's something being constructed. Something being put together. This song goes so far as to say that even the thoughts that we have are stones in this temple wall. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 3. I'm going to read the chapter this time. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk, and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? For when one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul? And who is Apollos? But ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry, ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, for it is written, He taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore let no man glory in men, for all things are yours. Whether Paul, or Apollos, or Cephas, or the world, or life, or death, or things present, or things to come, all are yours. And ye are Christ's, and Christ is God's. Okay, so in the outstart of this passage, the statement is made, and I'm going to raise it as a question this morning. How mature are we? Here, Paul says to the Corinthians, he says, I have to feed you with milk, because you were not yet able to bear the meat of the word. So possibly one of the measures of this question is, how much do I enjoy the depths of the word? How much do I appreciate digging into what a passage means? How much do I How much time do I spend in Bible reading? A lot of these challenges, actually all of them, I'm turning inward. Just came through a very busy week, materially busy. And there were several things that happened this week that made me sort through this question of what will endure for eternity. But the question comes back to me, am I stable? And part of stability is being satisfied where you are. Am I satisfied with where God has called me? Am I serving in the corner that God wants me? Another thing Paul points out is the carnality. He said, I know there's carnality because I see envy. I see people desiring what belongs to others. In other words, they're dissatisfied. They're not satisfied. They're looking for things that belong to others, wishing for them for themselves. He goes on to say, I see strife. Whereas I see arguing, I see fighting. I see division. That's separation. That's people that can't get along and they divide. They go their own two separate ways. The next thing I see here as we move on in this passage is the importance of blending. Paul said there was a problem here of people calling out their sides. You know, I am this man's follower. I am this man's follower. But we need to blend together for God's purposes. If I would take a cup of water and pour salt into it and ask somebody to extract it, would they be able to do that for me? Not without some kind of chemical processes. Or some other things, sugar. There's a lot of things you can put into that water that will blend. They will not separate. And that is what God calls for in His building. We're blending together for God's purposes. We are not the power. God is the power. God is the master builder. In the computer realm, there's a business area that they call co-location. And what that is, it's when somebody builds out a center that lots of different companies can bring their computers into. And usually it's for good internet access, stable power, things like that. Computers that they want to run all the time without downtime. The center where we have some of our computers, I watched grow from being a room, maybe just the size of maybe where Anthony is coming across and blocked out here, several racks of computers, to something bigger than this room here, with probably five or six rows of computers the length of this room here. And they're in racks that probably stand about this tall. So each of those computers, each of those racks could hold up to a dozen computers. There's a lot of computers in that room. But this did not happen by accident. The gentleman that pulled that off very carefully calculated how he was going to do it. He had a vision for where it was going to go. There was building to do. There was a room to renovate. And what he put into that room was very important to him. There was special floor, raised floor, so that they could get a lot of cabling in. Also ceiling has access as well. Because there's a lot of wires in that room. they put together special power systems. On the one wall is some big racks that are probably a little broader than I can stretch, that stand floor to about as tall as what I am. Those are battery backup power systems. And each of those racks, it's wired into each of those racks so that every computer in that data center can have power that gets backed up by battery if the main power goes off. And then what do you think they have outside of the building? Yes, a generator. In case something's off for a duration of time that the batteries will not take care of. There was a lot of thought put into that building. And it developed something. It has very reliably run our computer systems and many others for several years, a number of years. But you know, that's our lives today. If we actually want to get to that mature data center from the fledgling thing that I described at first, it takes being intentional. It takes planning. It takes working with our lives. It takes building in our lives, growing in our lives. So what are we building? That building we just put together on the spur of the moment without plans. How many storms do you think it will weather? How long will that building last? And if water came, would it be waterproof? Would it keep people dry? Seems to have a few problems with the roof. This is what happens with so many people's lives. They don't give thought to their lives ahead of time. And their lives don't endure. Their lives do not create the product that they were looking for. They built what looked right in the spur of the moment. But the end result doesn't get them what they're looking for. And what's really serious is in God's building, we are building with people. What we are building, we are preparing for eternity. If we practice things like hatred, like discord, in other words, not getting along, like dishonesty in this life, that is the foundation for the eternity that we're going to experience. If that's what you're sowing, you'll experience an eternity where you can sow that. If we're building faith and trust, kindness, you could go down through and list the fruit of the Spirit. We are building that for eternity as well. And that work will last. How we build matters. I've run in my office, basically ever since we've lived there, a mini version of that data center that I was talking about, even smaller than the one I described at first. And more recently, I've been thinking about how that's been built. It was originally built just thinking, you know, fire up a couple of computers in there sometime if we need to, if we have a failure somewhere or something. But today I'm thinking about what would happen if the big project is tested. How we build matters. There is only one foundation to build on, and our work is going to be tested. The foundation needs to be Jesus Christ. Amen. And he says, as far as the testing, he says the materials we contribute will make a difference in the outcome. Most of you know the story of the three little pigs, a prime example of that. You know, some work lasted and some did not. But in our lives, if we contribute, I mentioned before how what we are doing in life is preparing for the eternity we will experience. Are my materials strong? Are they the gold, silver? Are they the hay and stubble? He says it will be tested by fire. I was recently on a phone call with some of my coworkers, and they were asking some questions about my little data center in the Bronx. They said, what about fire? What would happen in the event of fire? What's the likelihood of fire? Is it physically secure? Could somebody come in and walk away with it? What about backup services? If you lost an internet connection, would there still be internet? Or if you lost electricity, would you still have electricity? And I was forced to think about what I had built. And you know, it was good to be forced to think about that before it was tried by fire. Today, I'm thinking about some of those things a little more seriously. If that data center is to be something useful, it needs to be something that's running all the time. It needs to be something you can count on, something that's stable. And so I'm doing things like getting my two internet connections tied together in a fashion that we can actually fall from one to the other. I'm doing things like upgrading my UPS so that I know I have good batteries and I have more runtime. But you know, the actual systems, I'm looking at them too. Is there enough power here to hold whatever load I might need to put on it all of a sudden? Is the preparation work done that I could all of a sudden bring a dozen systems into it and have it work? What did I build? And the real question is what I'm going to build from here out. Because he says, what we build matters. It will be tested. Verse 15 here has a very sobering thought to it. He says, there are times when you suffer the loss of everything you've built but yourself. And he says, and that because of fire. Does it take God's fire to help me realize who I am? Does it take God's fire to help me realize how fickle the things are that I'm building? The sad thing is, sometimes people aren't even saved themselves because they have not put any investment into their own lives either. God expects something of each of us. How do we know that? Verse 16 itself tells us that he gave us his spirit and he is living in us, that we are his temple. I'm sure you've often heard quoted this verse, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. We often talk about our bodies being the temple of God. We often talk about it in a physical sense, and I don't believe that that's actually what this verse is talking about, although that is a good lesson to learn. It says here that God has invested in you as his temple. His spirit is living in you because he wants something to happen there. So what is defiling the temple of God? It's ignoring the spirit and doing our own thing, if I'm reading these verses right. He says, God is dwelling in the form of the Spirit, is dwelling in you. If any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy. For the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. So am I maintaining my temple holy? How do we be holy? We be as God is. One place he tells us, be ye holy, for I am holy. We be as God is if we want to maintain that temple holy. And if we don't, if we don't care about that, then we have done despite to the temple of God. We have despised it. We have defiled it, is the word it uses here. So what are we filling ourselves with? That's another part of defilement. Are we allowing the Spirit to work in and through us? Or are we filling it with things like lusts, material pursuits, maybe pleasure pursuits? Are we filling it with a pursuit of riches? Status, pursuit of status. What are we filling our temple with? What are we filling our hearts with? The place where the Spirit of God wants to dwell. Our souls, our inner being. What are we filling it with? He goes on to tell us that a focus on worldly wisdom is an impediment to spiritual access, to spiritual success. I have reason to believe that that data center that I was talking about is struggling with potential failure. Even though they built up something, they thought about the systems, I'm seeing the possibility that maybe the right foundation was not laid for that whole project. A focus on worldly wisdom is an impediment to spiritual success. You know, we do that in our lives sometimes too. We focus on this and forget to focus on this. What is the foundation? I know some people that are very wise in this world, but not very successful in their spiritual lives. There's a lot of men like that. A lot of people like that. A focus on worldly wisdom is an impediment. It harms the ability for spiritual success. That doesn't say we're not going to know things of the world. That doesn't say that we're not going to train for our jobs. But what is your underlying focus? Are you doing that? Is that a result of the foundation? You're building on the foundation of Jesus? If this house was built for the purpose of earthly prosperity, it would not succeed. It was not built on the right plan. But you know what? If it was built for the purpose of spiritual prosperity, again, it was not built on the right plan. We have a plan book, and we have a foundation. And as we build on that, the product will endure. When people focus on worldly wisdom, they can trick ourselves into believing that we are wise and useful to God because of what I know. Wrong. Wrong. So many times God shows us that what I know falls way short of what God wants me to do. Verse 19 says, "The world's wisdom is foolishness with God." In summary, it says, God can outsmart any worldly wise man. Doesn't matter how wise and how careful they are. You know, some people take a similar investment that was put into that data center and invest it into their houses to protect themselves should things happen. My dad has worked with solar systems. I remember him talking about one house in particular that he got into. The party was worried about how they would live if the electrical grid went down. So it was solar, it was battery backup, it was you name it. And you know what? The house was constructed in ways that showed similar worries in other areas. But if God sent one of his tornadoes along, do you think any of that preparation would have done that man any good? He wouldn't have solar panels on his house roof anymore. May not even have his house. Years ago, a number of us youth went down to Jarrell, Texas to rebuild with Kim. Jarrell, Texas is a fairly little town. But when we got down there, it's like, where is this town? It was basically flattened. Every house in that town, pretty much every house was flattened. The town was gone. And so the residents were endeavoring to rebuild up the town from nothing. God's power will not be mocked. God's power cannot be stopped. God's power will go on. Like the scripture here says, God will outsmart the worldly wise. He knows even their thoughts. While they're still dreaming and scheming it up, he sees what's happening. He not only sees their thoughts, but he sees where their thoughts are going to go. How foolish to think we can outsmart God. We are not to glory in men and his accomplishments. Man has done a lot of things that you might call great. He's done a lot of big things. But you know, I hope we can see past that to realize it is just a fraction of what God can and will do. God is... how do you say it? But God is God. I mean, he's just over everything. He's beyond what we can imagine. He's beyond what we can think. Back to our buildings. Verse 8 says, we will receive a reward according to our labor. What I am building today may have impact today. I don't know. It will have impact of some sort. Is it going to feel like reward? That I don't know. But what I am doing today will be rewarded. Because we are building for eternity. So how I build today will receive its reward in eternity. And I can only wonder if the rewards will differ in proportion to the efforts we put into it. Let God be the judge on that. I hear one person talk sometimes. Okay, let me broaden it a little. There are several reasons for doing what we do today. Some people endeavor to build a day because they're scared of the future. I would say some build a day because they've gotten a glimpse of who God is and how big this program really is. Some do what they're doing today just because this is what feels good in the moment. And the product is something that looks like that. So I want to challenge each of us as we build our lives. Let's be intentional. Let's allow God to direct the building. Let's make sure the foundation is built on Jesus Christ, because that's the only foundation that will last for eternity. Let's kneel for prayer.